Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control, and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor, and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries, and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So you could just see $600,000
deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here. Oh, man. He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor." Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man, let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for two straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes.
New taxes.
I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this, because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it, just go ahead. So he kept walking, And Mess Ronnie saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know. He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings. All of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way. Your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad chap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Okay, J-Pot live stream is titled 100 Renters into Homeowners. That's our mission. We're on part number 17. We're going to open up the phone lines here, but first, let's just get the fundamentals of our game plan so we can reach 100, well, so we can help 100 renters become homeowners. All right, so we'll be right back after this.
According to 2017 tax returns in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million a year income. In America, 500,000 people made over $1 million a year income. Now, here's the kicker. Mount Everest, people say, oh, my gosh. You know, he reached the top of Mount Everest. Do you know how many people have done it out of 7 billion people? 4,000 only. Out of 326 million people in America, 500,000 people have made $1 million a year income. That means it's so much easier to make $1 million a year income than climb Mount Everest. And some people think $1 million a year income is such a big deal. Not anymore today in America. Now, keep this in mind. Before I get into it, I'm going to have a PDF for you, and I'm going to give you two different sides in this episode. One is going to be the logical side. I'll give you the math. The other one's going to be the emotional side, which is a part that most people struggle with. But this is a guy giving you this video, this message here. I've never lived in a house. I've always lived in an apartment. My parents got a divorce. I barely graduated from high school. I went to the U.S. Army because every counselor I had told me military is the best way for you because you can go to the Army, you can come out, be a cop or a firefighter, and you'll be set with a pension, with benefits, with all this other stuff, and you don't need to worry about everything else because schooling and success for everybody else is not going to work for somebody like you, Patrick. So I went the military route. No one in my family's ever made over six figures. We've never owned or lived in a house with a swimming pool, a backyard, nothing. We've never owned a condo that I've lived in ever, okay? So that was my life. Fast forward, the moment I figured out this formula and I trusted it, which I'm going to share with you. And by the way, this is not one of these clickbait, go on this webinar because I'm going to show you this program that for only $19.99 and you buy this program, I'm going to show you how to be a millionaire. This is free content to you, but it's going to make you millions. You'll see by the time I'm done. This formula got me a Ferrari, a Lambo, you know, Porsche, a Dawn, a Rolls Royce, a house, a 15,000 square foot. I've traveled all over the place. More importantly, family. My dad's been all over the world. I've surprised my dad and my mom in the craziest way that they couldn't even believe. And more than anything else, outside of all this other stuff, when family needed money, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to experience unique moments with people that matter to me the most, money's in the bank account. When I wanted to be able to do things when crisis happened for people in my family, I had money in the bank account. You watching this, listen to me. You will do better for the world being a millionaire than doing better for the world somebody making $30,000, $40,000 per year. You need to figure out a way how to make $1 million your income, because it is that important to make that kind of money today, because it's free to figure out a way to do it today. And I'm going to give it to you. Now, let me get into it. Before I do, questions, thoughts, comments, comment below. And if you haven't subscribed to the number one channel on YouTube, click on the subscribe button for entrepreneurship. Once we cross 1 million subs, we're doing our first live event with all the valuetainers around the world. Make sure you click the subscribe button and join the notification squad. Okay, so let's get right into it. So there are two areas that you need to figure out in order for you to make $1 million your income. One is the logical side that has to do with math. The other one is the emotional side that has to do with belief. We'll get into this, which is going to be some unique stuff you have not heard before, but let me explain the logic side. So here's the math side. When it comes down to coins, we have a half a dollar coin, 50 cents. We have a quarter, 25 cents, a dime, that's 10 cents, a nickel, that's 5 cents, and a penny, that's 1 cent, right? How many different combinations of coins makes up a dollar? Here's what I mean by it. If I have two 50 cent, half a dollar coins, that's $1. If I have four quarters, that's a dollar. If I have 10 dimes, that's a dollar. If I have 20 nickels, that's a dollar. If I have 50 pennies, two quarters, that's a dollar. How many combinations can I come up with to make up a dollar? You know what the number is? 293 different ways I can come up with a dollar. What's my point to you? To make $1 million your income, there's so many different ways they can break down the math to make $1 million your income. I'm going to give you examples on three different industries for you to say, okay, now I get it on what I need to do to make $1 million your income, because you got to know the formula on how to make $1 million your income. So let's go over here right now, Mario, together. Let's look at the first one. The first one is just sales. So pick any product that you want to sell. You don't have to. It can be insurance. It can be any product you're selling that's a $1,000 sale. So if your average commission is $1,000, how many personal sales do you need to make in a month to make $1 million your income? The number is $1,000 is your average commission sale. You need to make 83 sales, which is $83,000 per month, times 12 months, you're making roughly $1 million your income. That's if you sold everything personally. Now, you may be watching this and saying, Pat, there's no way in the world I can sell 83 of these a month. That's why you may need a team or a sales team. If you become a sales team, if that average sale that everybody sells is $1,000, if you're a sales manager and a broker, maybe the average commission by sales made by a rep to you is $250, which means $250, if the average sale to you is that the commission, you make your cut. You need 332 sales made by everybody to come up with $83,000 that becomes $1 million your income. So now, what you're solving for is what? 332 sales. How do you make 332 sales? Basic math. Either get five people that sell 66 of these products per month, either find 10 that do 33, 20 who do 16 of these, or get 40 sales rep that do 8 of these to make $1 million your income. This is any sales industry. Now let's look at real estate. Here's real estate. Say the average home you sell is $500,000. The commission that's paid to you as an agent is 6%. Your cut, the total commission is $30,000. Your cut is 70%. 70% of that $30,000 commission, because your broker keeps the 30%, that's $21,000. You need to make four of those sales per month to make $84,000 a month. Times 12 months, you'll make $1,008,000 per year. Now, you may say, well, my average home size is not $500,000. It's $250,000. No problem. You need eight sales. Well, the average home size I sell is $1 million loan. Then you need two sales. It doesn't matter. Figure out the math for yourself. If you're a broker and you have real estate agents working for you, how much total do you need to sell for you to make your 30% cut of $1 million your income? Here's what it is. If the commission is $30,000, your cut is 30%. That's $9,000 you take as a broker, which means you need 10 sales to be made. That's $90,000 for a total of $1,080,000 per year, right? So how do you break that down? Well, you need five real estate agents per month that make two sales a month for you at $500,000 to make 90 grand a month. Or you need 10 real estate agents that work for you that make a sale of $500,000 per month for you to make $1.8 million per year. The formula is there. Now, here's another one. Some of you guys that are engineers, you're on an IT firm or a consulting firm, and the average hourly is $150. This could be a law firm, this could be an IT firm, this could be a consulting firm, but the average hour that you charge, I come to you, I need you to design the software for me, you say it's gonna be around 300 hours. 300 hours times 150 hours, $150 per hour, I'm paying you $45,000. I'm just kind of giving you a math here. $450,000, I'm giving a math to you here, right? So if the average hour is 150, your engineer that works for you, because you sold the contract, there's a lot of people that sell these contracts who don't know anything about coding or IT, they sell the contract. If the average engineer who works for you makes $75, your cut is $75, that means you need roughly 1,100 hours in a month to make $83,000 per month to make $1 million your income. So the formula you solve for is what? 1,100 hours. So 1,100 hours divided by 4 weeks is roughly 275 hours. That's 40 hours per week with seven consultants. If you have seven consultants doing 40 hours a week of you making $75 per profit on the hour, you are making $1 million your income. Do you see what I'm showing to you here? This is the mathematical formula. By the way, this is boring, but it's exciting when you get a paper and pen and you start writing out your formula. Oh my gosh. This is all I need to do to make $1 million income. What do I need to do to make $2 million or $3 million or $5 million or $10 million? That's the pure math. It's so easy to do, but this is logic. This will not get it done. I know a lot of smart, intelligent, logical people with four-year degrees who, you know, mastered calculus, pre-calculus, who have this down, but they have problems with this next part. And by the way, this is 20% of the work. This is 80%. Let's get on to the emotion side. So here's the emotion side. On the emotion side, you have multiple different areas. Let me start off with the first one here. And this is by far the biggest challenge people have, and that is belief. In order for somebody to make this kind of money, $1 million your income, you're not going to make it if you don't believe it. So you say, well, Pat, how do I get a chance to believe this? I never, in my wildest dreams, nobody in my family made this kind of money. I've not been around people that make this kind of money. How can I make this kind of money? Here's the kicker. You need to master the art of future truth. Now, what is future truth? A lot of people have a hard time with this. Let me explain. So imagine if you have a lot of doubt. You don't believe in you, right? You're like, oh, I don't know about this. You know, this is great, but me making $1 million income, I don't know about that. Yesterday, I had 60 people here in my office, and I said, what is the big deal about making $1 million income? You should have seen some people's faces. Well, I don't really know if I'll ever make it, but it's kind of cool to dream about having a big house and the cars and the freedom and a few million in the bank account, but I don't know if it's for me. That's because they don't believe in it. That's because they don't understand the concept of future truth. Let me explain to you the future truth concept. Some of you may have never heard of future truth before. Here's what it is. If you're going to lie about you, you may as well tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over again. Now, at first, it's very difficult. Let me describe this to you before you get uncomfortable. For instance, I am going to make $1 million of your income. Now, I want you to say it. Say it to me real quick. Stop. Say it. I'm going to give you a second. Say it. I am going to make $1 million of your income. Say it again. Perfect. Let me ask you, was it uncomfortable? Do you feel like you're lying to yourself, right? Sometimes people say, well, Pat, I kind of was weird. I feel like I'm lying to myself. If you say, I am amazing. I'm meant to do something big with my life. I'm the guy that's going to go out there and be the hero to my family. That's difficult for some people because they're lying. But it's a current lie, but it's not a future lie. It's a future truth. It is a current lie, but it's a future truth. You see, the more you tell a big lie to yourself over and over and over and over and over again, and eventually believe it, future truth is you're going to make $1 million your income. This is a belief system that is very difficult for most people to do because most people think every kind of lie is a bad lie. No, I'm not telling you to go lie to your wife about some things you're doing on the side or lie to your husband about what you're doing on the side. I'm telling you, tell a good lie. I'm going to make a difference in the world. And you don't believe it, but say it a million times. You're going to end up believing it. I'm meant to do something special in my life. There's no way in the world God put me on this planet to just be a regular guy. No way. The blood in here is boiling. I want to do something big with my life. This guy was put on this planet to make a difference. Say it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Convince everybody in the world. The entire time you're just trying to convince one person, and that is you. And that's the game of future truth. And for some of you that are making $4,000 a month for the last 20 years, you really need to start lying to yourself. You, I'm talking to you. You really need to start this moment, start telling a lie to yourself on how special of a human being you are. Over, and don't expect anybody else to do it. For instance, when you say, honey, I wish you would have told me more nicer things. Mom, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Dad, how come you don't tell me nicer things? Don't wait on them. Start with you. Number two, perspective. Here's what I mean by perspective. Sometimes you need to make the big small. Did you notice how I started the video and what did I say? I said, according to last year's tax returns, in America, over 500,000 people made $1 million your income. I said that. Then what did I say? Total amount of people that have climbed Mount Everest is how many? 4,000. That perspective to you made the big small. You need to do that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again until like, why am I thinking this is such a big deal to make $1 million your income? It is not, because you finally got perspective. You put things in perspective, and you're over and over and over and over again making a big small, 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 until eventually you're like, oh, this is not a big deal. We're going to do this as well. Number three, question everything. Everything. When your mom and dad say something and it doesn't make any sense, like, you know, it's hard to, not everybody's going to make millions. Honey, it's not us to make millions. Don't sit there and let them say it. Stop them. Listen, mom, I don't believe you. Dad, I don't want to believe you. Bro, I don't want to believe you. Dude, I'm not with you. I don't want to buy into that concept. Say it to them. Question them. Challenge them. Don't let them get away with it by saying it around you, because if you sit there and you don't question that thing, that means you bought into it. That means you believed it. You got to question the stuff you tell yourself. Stop yourself. Wait a minute. Is that even true? I don't believe you. You to yourself, I don't believe what you're saying, bro. I don't want to believe you. I'm not buying what you just said right now. Question every single thing. Why do I believe this way? Why do I think this way? Why am I wired this way? Is that thinking even right? Why do I even do this? We had a meeting last week with my staff. This is a different meeting than yesterday. Yesterday's was sales. Last week's was staff. And one of our employees, they were required, every one of them was required to read the book Principle. And if they didn't read it, some of them were going to get fired. And, you know, we had the meeting. And I know some people had, this is harsh. Look, there's a few things with me. I may look like a guy on video you like and all this other stuff. Working with me on a daily basis, the expectation and standard is here. I expect you to perform. That's the reason we create an incredible environment where people love being around. But the expectation of performance is very, very high, and the pressure is very high to perform, work, and improve. If you're the same person every 3 to 6 months, you don't need to be in this company. You need to go to a different place. So I was speaking about this, and one lady said, well, you know, in this book, what I took away from this book was the fact that I think sometimes in companies, the executives need to understand that everybody's different. And not everybody, you know, does this and does that. I said, ma'am, stop. I said, did you even read the book? No, I didn't read the book. I said, why is it that the first thing you got out of the book is how you can fix everybody around you instead of how you can fix you? You see, the only way your income's going to grow is by focusing all the things that you got to do on you to improve. If you fix you, everybody else around you is going to be fine. But you got to fix you. And I asked the following question. I said, here's a question for you. I said, what's the most money you've ever made in a year? Don't say it publicly. Just think about that number. What is the most money you ever made in a year? Then I said, go back 10 years ago. How much has that income changed and why? Why? Why has that income not changed that much? If 10 years ago you were making 16 bucks an hour, 10 years later you're making 16 bucks an hour, why is that? Why is your market, you know, value in the marketplace the same thing? Is it everybody's fault? Is it the government's fault? Is it your boss's fault, your parents' fault, your kids' fault, your spouse's fault, or your fault? Everything here comes back to you. And it's so hard to do, but you got to face the truth. You ain't going to make $1 million your income. You don't face the truth and realize the issue's right here. And the last item to cover over here, to my left, to your right, is guaranteed formula for success. If you notice, it's got a little bit of green in it, and it's got a little bit of red in it, because it's a combination of emotion and logic. It's the four things I always talk about. My guaranteed formula for success that is 100% proven for my life and other people I've taught. Outwork, outimprove, outlast, and outstrategize. Again, outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize. What you're looking on the screen here, on the screen, look at those four again. What you're looking on the screen here, which of those four things that you're looking at, the outwork, outimprove, outlast, outstrategize, which of those four things do you think comes last? Meaning you learn the latest It's out-strategize. Why? Because that requires a lot of experience. It's like you got to go through like a general in the war, right? You got to go through so many different wars to learn different strategies and what works and what tactics works and what doesn't work. That's something you got to be working on, right? However, the other three, outwork. If a guy works 80 hours a week and you work 40 hours a week, you can't compete with that guy. If you yourself are reading 2, 3, 4 books a month and you're developing your mind and your competitor is not, and he only reads 1 or 2, and you study in industry articles and all this stuff, and they're not, you're studying how to recruit CEOs, CFOs, COOs, CMOs. What is the best way to stretch this $1 million investment that I got to make this happen? Who should I talk to be part of a group or mentors and CEOs group and all these? Who should I network with? What community should I be a part of? Who's the best engineers, IT firm to hire? What are these competitors doing? What are some of the guys that are not even in my market? If you start studying those industries, somebody else isn't. It's tough to compete with you. And then outlast. Some people work 80 hours a week for a year, and that's great. But they can't work 80 hours a week for 3 years. Some work 80 hours a week for 3 years. But you work 80 hours a week for 5 years. You outlasted the guy that did 3 years or 1 year. They can't compete with you because the compounding effort favors you. So these four things that you look at on the screen require one thing, and that's discipline. And the discipline part you don't hear a lot about. That's the things people do when nobody else sees. That's when you win. Again, there's a part of this that's logical. There's a part of this that's emotional. Well, let me get to the last part here and wrap up the session here. So you've got all these different things. Imagine this part here with you and I talking. Think about it this way. What if you, at the end of this video, what if you, watching this, you said, it makes sense. I'm going to apply some of this stuff, okay? I'm going to sit down and figure out my math. I'm going to do it, okay? And I'm going to sit down and question my beliefs. I'm going to sit down and talk about the future truth. I'm going to find a big lie and say it over and over and over again. By the way, I want you to tweet me your big lie on Twitter, at Patrick Bay David. Tweet me your big lie. And my favorite lie, I'm going to retweet a few of them. You tweet me your biggest lie, at Patrick Bay David. What is your big lie? What is your future truth? You start working on your perspective, making a big small. You start questioning everything, challenging your thinking. You face the truth. You make a game plan to outwork, out-improve, outlast, out-strategize. You start making $1 million your income. And you become one of those 500,000 people in America that make $1 million your income. You may be in another different country and you're making $1 million your income because principles are evergreen in all the countries outside of communism and socialism. What if you apply those concepts and you started improving? What if you did that? What would happen to you? What happens if you make $1 million your income? Are you better for your family? Are you better for your community? Are you better for your parents, your friends, your kids? Are you better for society? Are you better for your friends? Are you better for everybody? More importantly, are you better for you? Do you have better doctors for you? Do you live in a better community? Do you give more money to charity? Do you give more money to communities? Do you feel better about yourself? Do you wake up in the morning and once you figure out this entire formula, do you really think you can go back to being a regular person like you used to be? Do you really think you can go back and take up some of your bad habits if you make this thing a consistent thing? Now, it's easy to go back and being bad, but don't you think you're going to start living a whole different life? Is it not worth it to make a decision to do this? You see, the reality is, of everybody watching this, maybe 1% of you is actually going to apply the things we talk. Maybe 1% of everybody watching is going to apply the stuff that we're talking about. Most people are just going to go, boom, boom, they skipped. You went back to work or you went back to a whole different thing, and you'll say, I'm going to get back to this later on today and put a reminder, and you forget about it like everybody else does. A few of you are going to watch this, and you're going to say, stop everything. I'm taking a break. Hey, I need a break, 20-minute break, 30-minute break. Go grab it because your emotions are high. Start writing. Start asking. Write this whole formula. We're going to have a PDF below for you to get and start writing all this stuff. If that's you, I've got two other videos for you to watch. One, 11 Skills of a Millionaire, 11 Skills Millionaires Master. You got to watch this one. And another one is How to Really Become a Millionaire. Not how to make $1 million income, how to really become a millionaire. You need to watch How to Really Become a Millionaire, and you need to watch 11 Skills Every Millionaire Masters. You do those things and go through the PDF and start applying these concepts, 2, 3, 6, 12 months from now, not only are you not going to recognize yourself, none of your friends and family is going to start recognizing yourself, and all of a sudden you're going to send me a message on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter saying, Pat, I just crossed $1 million your income. I want to ask you, how's it feel? How's it feel? Was it as hard as you thought it was going to be? It was hard, but not as hard as I thought it was going to be, and I'm making $1 million your income. And by the way, I can't wait for you to do it. You, I'm talking to you, the serious one. You, I can't wait for you to do it. I can't wait for your dreams to become a reality. I can't wait for it. I cannot wait for you to experience this and tell me about it a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. Anyways, you want the PDF, click on the link below. Questions, thoughts, comment below. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, click on the subscribe button right here to my left. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay. Our goal within the next 5 months, we got a cushion of, let's see, five-month target date with a 90-day cushion on top of that, with to reach that $1 million in gross revenue is, and that's why we named today's podcast. We're on part 17, by the way, part 17. 100 renters and the homeowners, and then we've even broken that down into 50 people from renter to homeowner, and then another 50 to income property owner. All of them will build their structures. And essentially, it's simple arithmetic, eight-year-old in third grade can do it. $10,000, a $10,000 structure, that's the sale price. $10,000 times, and you just do it 100 times. Help 100 people, you roast $1 million in sales. So we break it down part by part, and we're on part 17. So, because a lot of people just can't, the figure of $1 million, which is not a lot of money, but we just break it down. So we've broken it down into actually $5,000 to $10,000 chunks, and we're going to even break it down smaller than that, particularly when it comes to building. So part 17 will be back Monday. Now, we're not going anywhere now. We're about to open up the phone lines, but Monday we'll get into part 18, and then give information on how people can participate with this. All right, area code 309. Your mic is open. Oh, wait a minute. I thought it was open. It was opening. Wait a minute. Let me try it again.
There you go.
309, your mic is open. Yeah, I can hear you now.
Good morning. All right. Yeah, good I heard you say unmuted. Rhett Wild already said hello. Good morning. Yeah, no, I love this, you know. Put 100 people in homes in 90 days. But, it just excites me to even think 7 people a day could come together and actually.
Oh, no,
make
Chris, we've stretched it out. We're making it 6 months, so that's like one a day.
Okay, so yeah, all right, one a day. That works out too.
One a day.
Well, actually, that's a half of one a day for 6 months.
Right. Yeah, half. You're right. Yeah, 6 months.
And that works out because, remember, we discussed that. Do a two-day build.
Right.
That way nobody's stressed out on it, and you knock it out. And even if you had two different crews coming and doing it.
Right. Absolutely right.
I love that.
So nobody won't get stressed out. And then as your teams get progressively better and you got a chemistry going in the system down, with the same people, or primarily the same people, then you can, you know, step it up.
Right, right. No, you got to get it rolling, you know, and
right.
Getting people to commit to doing something every, you know, building something over a two-day period is, you know, to me, I think that's more achievable than pushing people for an 8-hour day. Because it's much easier to maybe get them for 2-4-hour days.
Right. Right. Particularly if it's on a weekend or something like that. You know what? There's this guy, you might probably already know about him. What's his name? Tom. I got to look up his name. He's the guy who started Tough Shit. Tom Story,
yeah,
I think, was his last name. And two Julys ago, now, of course, he started by just building one shed for himself in his backyard or something like that. But two summers ago, his company, because he, I doubt if he goes out and does anything now like that, unless he wants to just for old time's sake. But two summers ago, his company, Tough Shed, built and sold in the month of July 10,000 sheds. And I imagine that to pull that off, he did a lot of subcontracting with locals. I think they did that in about 20 states, 15 to 20 states they pulled that off in. Because there's only 24 hours in the day, and only so many, there's only 30 days. July's got, what, 31 days? So 10,000 of them, so... I imagine Tough Shed, the way they're structured now, is they're a marketing company. You know, they market. They also have distribution probably at, what, Home Depot or Lowe's, one of the two. But the 10,000 thing, I think those were like individual orders. And, of course, they what's the term, subcontracted, or sub those jobs out to local craftsmen, and I'm sure some of them did probably more than one job, but. But it started just with one guy. What'd you say, Chris?
I was wondering if you had designated a project for the first one to start the doing the
we got I'll give you a call later on today and give you the update on that.
Okay. And we better,
because we're looking at towards the last, we're looking at this month, later in the month. I got the 24th, 25th, and 26th, but it anyway, I'll let you know. By tomorrow, okay. This time tomorrow morning, I'll let you know for sure.
All right, no problem. And, you know, I did get a new executive director for Hope, and he's an amazing person. And I know he's listening to the show. He is working. If you do happen to want to say hello, you know, his name is Jeff. Very, very excited to finally meet him. Been searching for him for about 20 years. But he's stepping in and getting things done that I couldn't get done. And it's great because I'm just watching it. But one of the things I wanted to discuss was us getting local community businesses in that area to get behind the sponsoring of any of these builds, because that would help with the marketing, which we know we're going to do live builds. So people are going to be able to watch us on Facebook Live and Instagram Live and all that, and order houses, key ingredient here, show them and then get them to step up and do this across the nation so we can, you know, really start seeing a difference, right?
Now, how would that, and if, if he wants to speak, he can just press one, and I'll open up his mic so he can participate in the conversation. Now, so how does this work, ordering houses?
Well, what it'll be is people will be able to watch our live builds. You can see website and stuff on there to where you can go and you can look at different designs. You can make a purchase on a house. You're going to put a 20% down payment on it. And within the time of the build, if we're 4 weeks out before we start your build, then within 4 weeks you have all of the payment ready, the financing and everything for it or whatever. If you need financing, then we will be able to maybe assist you in that as well, because we will be offering that. And also maybe even collaborations to where we can be working together so we can help bring other programs and other resources that you don't have into the projects that you're working to help things empower you. But as far as the payments, people put a 20% down payment on the flat pack. That's not an erected thing. It's not, there's no labor involved. There's none of that. You're buying material. And from that, that's where we discuss how is this going to happen. Is it going to get done by you having seven friends that aren't doing anything for a weekend? And then you turn around and go back and repay each one of them by doing it for them. It take you 2 months to give it back to them. But imagine what you could do for all of them. And
right.
That's kind of what this is about, you know. We can set up, if you're in tourist destinations, Airbnbs in your backyard, and there are additional dwelling units. Different communities have different variances on who can stay in them. But like in my city, you have to be either blood relative or married or adopted into the family to live on the property. You can't be just somebody out and about. And that was one of those things that I was trying to find a loophole, because I wanted to adopt a human. You know, well, I found out you can't adopt anybody over 18 years old.
Man, okay.
You
now,
know,
what
so
now is that? That's in the county. That's in the county. The well, let me see. You're, that location is in hold, let me announce again. 309-533. If you want to participate in the conversation, just press 1 and we'll include you in. All right, now all right, wait a minute. Let me see. You're in Illinois, right? Right, Chris?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, let me see. In Illinois, you have 102 counties. So are there, maybe there are other counties in, that are a little bit more liberal. I don't know. Because you're in, what county are you in?
I'm in McLean. It's the largest county in the state of Illinois.
McLean? Is that bigger than Cook County?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, McLean County, Illinois. Okay, that's McLean, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so I'm just so I can follow along here. All right, county seat is Bloomington. I've heard of Bloomington. Okay. McLean is the largest county by land area in the United U.S. state of Illinois. And let's see, the county has a population of 170,000. Okay. So it's the largest county by land mass, I guess that's the right term. And you got, how many communities, right? You've got 1, 2, 3, 4. You got 5 cities, 1 town, a bunch of villages, a census designated place, and they have several unincorporated communities, and they have several townships, and they have 3 ghost towns. That's a lot of space. Okay, so so you like you said, you had to be a blood relative or something, or married by in the family. It just can't be somebody off the street or what about a commercial venture like Airbnb rental?
That might be a possibility because we are a college town. You know, we're not necessarily a huge tourist situation, but we have a lot of parents that come for their kids. And I was looking to do like an Airbnb thing on my 3 acres because I think that they would come and stay. It's real close to both of the colleges, the main ones, ISU and Wesleyan.
Cool. Now, we 309-533, your mic is open, so you can chime in at any time.
Yeah, nice to meet all of you. This is Jeff Hersey, new executive director for HOPE. Thanks for introducing me there, Chris. You know, frankly, and Chris and I need to talk about this, you guys might remember, it sounds like most of us on the call are old enough to remember, Hands Across America, May 25th, 1986, when 5 million people joined hands across the United States for a huge charity event. A lot of visibility, and that's the kind of spotlight event I think we need. We need people, there's already enough people that believe in the sheltered solutions. There's a problem that continues to grow. There are parents who have kids and relatives staying in their homes, digging into their own retirement funds. It's a big issue, and we need to put a really giant spotlight on it. And I think we go county by county across the United States from the East Coast to the West Coast, and we have a line of builds all the way across the country with so much visibility and so much press that people will be dumping their money into these tiny builds. You guys chew on that one for a minute. It's a relatively new idea that I just thought about, and I think that's the way to really get this thing moving fast.
Oh, no, I've been, Hands Across America.
He said it all. Sign us up. Because you've got over in the United States, I think it's over 3,100, but I'm going to play it safe. You've got no less than 3,000 counties or county equivalents. New Orleans, they call it their counties parishes, and in Alaska, they call what we call counties boroughs. So I'm here in Florida. There's 67 counties right here in Florida alone. There's 102, I think, counties in Illinois. So I think that's really the best way to get some traction going. Thanks for bringing that up. Whenever you're ready, guys, to do the planning on it, let me know and we'll participate.
So Chris and I need to speak about it. But the vision, you know, Hands Across America was a straight line across the country from east to the west coast. 5 million people, as I said, participated in on Memorial Day in 1986. Huge event, huge visibility. Imagine if we could do the line, that would be easy enough, identify all the counties from the East Coast to the West Coast and get people that would be willing to participate. That would be easy. But it would be really cool and exciting if we could get that kind of a line that's jagged throughout the United States that hits every single county or most of the large counties at least. And then in a single day, do the 781 builds that Chris so finally refers to. And, guys, that would launch all of
all right.
us in a day.
It
takes coordination, and I'm willing to coordinate it. I'm willing to coordinate that effort. All we need to do is find volunteers, at least 7 or 8 volunteers in each county, and then we can find the seed money once we line up the resources to do the builds.
All right.
I'm in Polk County, Florida.
I'm on board for it. Just where we got to show up, conference calls, Zoom, or whatever. I'm ready to go with that one. It makes
sense.
All
right. Awesome. Well, I'm excited about it, Chris. You and I can talk about it after this. I've got some ideas to get that rolling. We've got other people all around the country that we can coordinate with and get that coordination started. And, you know, we just do it. Instead of this piecemeal, you know, here is a county, we got to try to convince all of these politicians to do the right thing. And everybody's putting their thinking caps on. And it's death by committee. You guys ever heard the old saying, a camel is really a horse that was created by a committee? So that's kind of what we got here when we take these solutions to committees. We want to keep it small. This group, what I've learned from Chris, the entrepreneurs, the inventors, everybody that's thinking about homelessness, they're thinking about poverty, they're thinking about hunger, their minds are in the right place. And if we don't do this ourselves and push it out ourselves in a really big way, then we're going to be playing with the politicians for the next 3 to 5 years.
Or more. I agree.
Or more.
I agree.
So,
all right,
Chris, we'll talk about it after this call.
Chris, you feel it? Or he feel his light still on?
Oh, I'm here. Yeah, I'm definitely here.
okay.
Dr. Eza White, he did the first county address, state of address.
Okay.
He did that this past week, just the other day or yesterday. And to me, that's wonderful to think that that's the first congressman to ever do that. But he addressed the problems in his county. Now, what he addressed is in every county across the country. They all have different, sizes of problems, but he was addressing the problems and also putting solutions to them, which they had mentioned the container homes. But, of course, we know that we don't have to take a container apart to build one. So that's the beautiful part about getting a flat pack from us. You don't have to worry about cutting out big holes out of a big metal sheet thing and worrying about how now frame out the outside and the inside so you can put siding on it so it don't look like a shipping container. We just build it for you, and then you just put the inside and outside on it, and it's over. That's the beautiful part.
Mm-hmm.
You build it. We build it, together. And that Hands Across America, it needs to be more to the world, and I know that Apple Mountain Music had give us permission to do a remake of Over the Rainbow for, with Maui's situation and stuff, which we're still working on. If we did something in that nature and actually produce that song out again here, but do it showing the people. And I do have one of my recording artists that has just done a song, and the song is saying, this song is about me. And it was showing all the different people that were doing the song. There was kids, there was men, there were women, it didn't matter. Everybody everybody was singing those little parts. And it was really, really cool how they put that all together. But, if we wound up showing, the rainbow and the pot of gold that's sitting on the other side here, and there's one on the other side because there's two ends to a rainbow, and we actually make it come true for them, we are looking at what earth wealth, right? That's what this whole show has ever been, around, is the 68 squares here or 67 squares here in America, and two squares of it, over 83% of the population of America live in it, and 47% or so of the rest of it, and that's 65 squares that a human being's never even lived on or stepped on.
Let me add on to that, Chris. If people can get a visual on this, if you take Los Angeles County, which isn't the most, Los Angeles County is the second most populous county in the United States. There are more people that live in Los Angeles County than 40 different states in the United States. Just in that one county. 40 states that don't, individually they have their own population. Oklahoma might have about 4 million people, but Los Angeles County's got, I know it's over 9 million or 10 million people. But that's just amazing, and that's the second largest county in the United States. And then, of course, when you get up into, New York City, that's even larger. But it's amazing the amount of space that's available out here that people are not even,
at a cheaper rate.
Living in. Right.
At a cheaper rate, too. You go pay the inflated prices to live on top of each other, or you can go out and have space, have tranquility, have, you know, ability to do other things besides having your neighbor sitting there looking in your window because they can see him.
Right.
Because you live on top of each other, live next to each other. You know, that's one of the things that in the veterans builds and in the when we're looking at giving people some privacy, we can give them windows, but always the window that is facing the house next door, you have windows that can see the house, but that house can't see you, and you can't see in that house. That gives them privacy, and you can run a little thing right around it, and all you do is just leave off that one more wall, because we're talking about 12, 15, 16 feet. You know, just don't put any windows there. Now, no one can see in and what you're doing. You can still see out and see your yard and see what's doing, but it's not about, you know, people feeling like they have no privacy. And, you know, always make the beds lower for the veterans that have the PTSD, been in war, because they roll out of the bed. And if they hit the floor, at least they ain't got as far as to fall. But the other part is they make a rubber floor we can stick on there that it's nice, hard, beautiful floor. But if they fall off, it's actually comfortable and they don't break a bone. It'll absorb.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of those little ideas that I think need to, not every community is going to have all the same answers. You know, that's the beautiful thing about being unique and individuals. We're all individuals. We all think on our own, and we all have perceived thoughts on of what other people are doing on our own, and envision other things and build from them. So I just see it continuing to grow and giving all kinds of opportunity for the kids, for the adults, and just for, you know, in general life. You know, having bad teeth, the quality of life sucks. When you see people that can just eat anything and they're just having a high old time and smiling and all that, then you see the person that don't have that, and then when they go to try to eat and it's miserable for them, but they know they got to go through it just so they can eat. You know, these are the little things that we need to fix, because that quality of life does matter, and it will make a difference, I think, and we'll all start to see it, and it'll start changing the generations to come.
Okay. All right. I'm looking at your Hands Across America. They have a Wikipedia page on there, too, so they even have a map of it.
Yeah, what you're going to see there, too, is you're going to see that the timing, and that event was to, you know, address homelessness and hunger, right? It was an outcropping of the, if you guys remember, We Are the World. The problem was the coordination of the event across the United States, because, guys, in 1986, not everybody had access to the Internet. So we have a huge
That's
advantage,
true.
And the timing right now is so perfect, because that was Memorial Day of 1986. We can coordinate this so much faster now. We don't need to worry about the giant money in order to get it coordinated. We just need a viral event on the Internet to get everybody talking about it. You can sell T-shirts.
Right.
You can sell places in a line to raise the money for the tiny homes themselves or the container homes. So this is – it's not going to be that difficult. It's just we have to figure out a way to coordinate our people and then make sure everybody is socializing this across their own personal social networks. It's that simple. It really is that simple.
Well, I'm like I said, sign me up. Just let me know what I need to do next so I can put it out. We can start promoting that every day on this you know, throughout, you know, just this podcast alone, plus other things we have coming up. So a brilliant idea. Thanks for putting it out there, because that really that would put traction behind what we've been talking about anyway.
Well, and it fell, if you noticed on there, it fell flat. It didn't raise as much money as they wanted it to, but mostly because of communication issues and trying to just get the movement off of the ground. Look, everybody I talk to, everybody on this call, we get it. All American families are feeling it. The lack of affordable housing, the minimum wage has not kept pace with the cost of living, and so more kids are staying at home with their parents, grandparents, friends. They're couch surfing. They're living in RVs and cars. Everybody is feeling it. So this is going to resonate, but we don't want to sit on our hands too long. So Chris is an ideas guy. I mean, I could sit down with Chris, and he'll give me 15 ideas to go and pursue in order to connect county by county, a team in each county. Then we'll begin the fundraising, selling the T-shirts. We'll have somebody craft a nice T-shirt, and people can buy them. They can buy their place in line as we go across the country, or as we join in our efforts across the country. And then we'll turn to Chris has got some folks that are creative as far as the advertising and the visibility on the news networks. And man, wouldn't it be great if we could get folks in every state, stations, radio stations, television stations, to cover those builds in 50 states. Guys, what we're proposing will take off across the globe.
You know, you're absolutely right. And because now what we have now is practically everybody, even low-income people in developing countries, have smartphones. Which
yeah,
I call
everybody.
A smartphone a new transistor radio.
Yeah.
So you're right. We have the means of communication. We have control of that. So excellent idea. Excellent.
Well, I plan I want to talk to Chris because his opinion and his insight are very important to me, and I'm just kind of springing it on him on this call. But you guys kind of, you inspire me. Every time I get on these types of calls, they inspire me. So Chris and I will get together, and we'll decide what the first step needs to be. I'll move fast on this. Chris knows I'm a fast mover. Not going to sit on my hands.
All right.
I'm going to blow smoke. We're going to move fast.
No,
people across the country that will move fast with us.
Well, we're going to move right with you. Let's see. We have another call here. It's 773. Your mic is open.
Grand Rising. Buenos dias a todos. Grand Rising, everybody.
Buenos dias.
Grand Rising.
So we had a good turnout.
Oh, well, first thing, Reba. Reba, how was your birthday night or day?
Certainly. For those who don't know who I am, I am the co-host. We're calling it, Brother L.A. calls it Reba Media. So I really want to encourage young people across the world to be able to – I teach Spanish, so we're bridging a cultural divide here in Chicago with our migrant sisters and brothers. Yesterday I was at Club La Vue celebrating, Brother L.A., so I started off at the Wild Blossom. So if you guys have never been to Wild Blossom here in Chicago, it's really, really a nice smaller venue other than the Grand Ballroom where I usually hold our fundraisers for the Black Youth Metropolis Enterprise for Entrepreneurship. We're teaching arts teaching entrepreneurship through the arts. And then Brownsville Leadership Academic Center, which will be located in the Brownsville area, community neighborhood of Chicago, we are in actively raising funds. So what I did was I passed out my card. So Club La Vue had a comedy showcase hosted by Marlon Mitchell, who's been featured on HBO, Comic View, several popular platforms. I certainly wanted to engage and encourage everyone to learn Spanish or at least get a gift certificate, because we're going to pick up on it anyway. It's inevitable. So I have, believe it or not, I have adults that say, oh, I don't want to learn Spanish. I said, stop being bitter. our sisters and brothers are here. Let's learn to communicate. And also in business. Business owners are going to need to speak Spanish as a second language or third, whatever other languages you have. So I had fun. We just had a sip of wine over at Wild Blossom first, celebrating my birthday. And then took pictures with Greg, who's the owner over there at the Wild Blossom. And then we moved on. I met up with my friend Lanita and myself. We went to the Wild Blossom and we traveled to Club La Vue in Chicago Heights. My 26-year-old, I have three sons, my 26-year-old and his girlfriend met us there, and we had a good time. So We'll see who, because I did a special on yesterday for my 54th birthday. Instead of 50% off, which is the sale this month for my 54th birthday, I celebrate every day of the month. I do something, you know, in particular just to celebrate life for the month of my birthday, the day of my mother and father's birthday and so forth. So I'm getting to acknowledge our ancestors. I did mention what we're doing. So we want to get more people engaged, especially even in this podcast, business owners, because we actually laid down so much information. So I appreciate the callers. Chris, you know, is our regular guest, and Chris Collins, and then the guest who just spoke. So we appreciate, you know, the mindset to pull together and to solve some of our nation's issues. So, yeah, I had fun. I almost got on the mic, because, you know, I sing, too. But, yeah, so I had fun.
And my name was Jeff. I'm sorry. I don't know that I actually said it, but I think Chris mentioned it.
Okay. Okay, hey, Jeff, just, thank you so much.
Through this platform, Chris and I will make sure that everybody has my email address. Let's do this. If we're interested, if that piqued your interest, then let's make this thing happen. Let's, you know, we can do it. It's easy to coordinate. We don't need, I mean, I imagine every city government will just stand up right behind us, because who's going to complain about an initiative to help people who are currently without homes, food, or the ability to support themselves? Nobody's going to stand in our way.
Well, Brother L.A. and I, and I'm not negating that, Brother L.A., we talked about regulations on, you know, in certain areas. So Brother L.A. is well aware of different areas where it's not as regulated. So we could actually, you know, alleviate that issue, too, by those that are on these boots on the ground teams being aware of the areas that we can actually utilize. I actually have, my family has over 300 acres in Hickory, Mississippi, so that's land that nobody is basically, some people living in certain areas. I also have a house seat of my own that was left by my godfather in Eufaula, Alabama. So we have, like you said, unused land, and my sons were renting a duplex in Wisconsin. And so as we drive through, we see a lot of vacant land. And I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But, you know something? I mean, your point is well taken, and Chris's point is well taken. The, you know, but the goal of this initiative would be the visibility. You know, the visibility is what you need. I suspect that in some places where the builds are going on across the United States and the various counties, you're going to get people who are wealthy who see it and just want an ADU to put in their backyard for a family member. And that's okay, too,
that's
because
right.
All the funding that comes in, we can reutilize that money to not only put back into the containers, the tiny homes, but also to help with the bigger problem, which is, you know, those that are currently plaguing humankind all over the planet, the hunger, the homelessness, and the poverty.
I agree. Point well taken. Yeah, certainly.
You know, what I like about this idea that Jeff is speaking about, let's go back to what Chris was speaking about earlier. An analogy I use often is the chessboard. You've got like 3,000 plus, I'm going to just cut it off at 3,000. You have at least 3,000 counties in the United States. But most of those counties, 97% of the counties in the United States are primarily rural counties. So, matter of fact, let me put it this way. When I hear Jeff speaking about this, it's like this exact, practically the exact same strategy that Sam Walton and his wife Alice did with the Walmart when they started out in Rogers, Arkansas. You don't
That's
start
right.
off with the big, you know, you don't start off with the New York City, Chicago, or the Los Angeles, or the Miamis. You start off with these, because they're more small counties and tiny counties than big counties. So you can get your. I'm in Florida, which is, I'm in Polk County, Florida. Florida has 67 counties. you have people that live in Jacksonville, Florida, which is in Duval County, that has never heard of Polk County before, okay? But I can get things done easier here than I could in Jacksonville or Orlando or Miami, which is Dade County. So that's what I like about Asparagus. Matter of fact, even with Facebook, Facebook originally, that was just supposed to be a network online for college students in the Boston, Massachusetts area. Their community colleges there as well as the full four-year universities. But then it's just like a baseball game. They were hitting a bunch of singles, and it became, you keep on hitting singles, and then it just spread out. So that's what I like, the county thing, because the smaller places are going to – you're going to get the cooperation out of the smaller places, and then when you get to the bigger places, they're going to, well, who else has signed up? Well, it'll get to a point. For instance, when Walmart started to get to the larger cities in the United States, they really didn't need them because, for people who don't know, you've got about 108,000 communities in the United States, everything from your townships, small villages, to New York City, to Chicago, to Los Angeles, California. You got 108,000 of them. Now, out of that 108,000 towns or communities in the United States, only 10 of them have a population of a million or more people. Three of those are in California. You got L.A., San Diego, and the Bay Area. And then, let's see, Texas has got, now this is out of the top 10, because there's only 10 cities that have a million people. The other three out of the 10 are in Texas, San Antonio, Dallas, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Houston. And just in between, let's say, San Antonio, Dallas, and Austin, you have more people in that triangle than the entire state of Georgia. So what I like about what Jeff's talking about, if you hit it from the county approach, you're going to avoid a lot of the strangulation of big city politics and getting caught up in what I call their grid. So it's like, people have heard me a long time. I like tiny towns that have a population of like 400 people or less, because there's one particular town that I go to. Every time I go to that town in that state, the mayor picks me up at the airport. Now, it's not because I'm a special person or anything. Anybody can do what I'm saying. If you pick certain towns that have just a low population, a lot of people are very accommodating. They'll help you out a lot. And what Jeff is talking about, he suggested, man, that to me is a no-brainer.
Yeah, and if you target the poorest counties, if you target the poorest counties, that you're a data guy. If you look at the data and you go after the poorest counties, well, that means a lot of organizations that pray every day about these problems in the United States are going to stand behind us. So, target the counties where the average income is much lower than in those big cities. What I've learned about big city and big city politics is the big city and the big city politics, they don't like to be outdone by anybody else. So if you target the smaller counties, the big cities will follow.
There you go.
I can see that.
There
awesome.
You go, sir.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, now, really, you're up there in Chicago. The thing is, I'm not picking on Chicago, but Chicago, New York, any city has got maybe 100,000 people or more. And Jeff is right, they don't like to be outdone. First thing, in a four-year administration, there's only so much you can do in 4 years.
Right.
And then when 2 years of that is up, then you got to prepare for the next election cycle, which is 2 years in itself. And then if the whatever constituency is not happy, okay, or they haven't supported the current administration, and it takes money to bankroll any administration and these ideas. I mean, because Chicago, I'm just using Chicago as an example, they weren't happy with Lightfoot, so they have a new mayor in. They're not happy with some of the people. Or not, it appears that they're not happy with the new person. Well, if you don't reelect him, then, you know, it, like I said, it's only so much you can do, and realistically, 24 months before the next election cycle is going to come up. So that's why,
that's
like
right.
Jeff's idea, this is something where we don't have to go, we don't have to deal with committees and votes and this, that, or the others, and all that other stuff.
Well, I've been saying that for years, certainly. You know, you work within your circle, and then the circle gets bigger. You know, I had an associate yesterday. She said, well, two or three minds are gathered. She's talking, referring to the Bible. And so the scripture in the Bible where it just encourages two or three like-minded people. God is in the midst. So the reality is that the like-mindedness can move mountains. So it's certainly something that has moved my heart on today. I appreciate sharing.
And you only need two or three. You don't need 300. You know, it's two or three, which Jeff has put it out there. So now we just need to roll with it. So that's what.
Is there a way to facilitate through this call? Because this is my first time, and you all are wonderful. You are absolutely wonderful, and what you're attempting to do is absolutely amazing. It's astounding to me ever since Chris fired.
Well, here's what I write. We can do. All right, here's what I can make available on this podcast. All right, we typically do Monday through Friday, but I rarely use Saturday and Sundays. So, if you need time tomorrow, I can slide out 2 hours for tomorrow, 2 hours on Sunday, and then we can just open it up at the time that you want, and we can facilitate through this. Another platform that we can use that I know Reva's connected to, and Chris, because I've met Chris, through Clubhouse, and Clubhouse is available 24/7. I can get you 2 hours a day on here, okay? Starting tomorrow, I can get you 2 hours Saturday, 2 hours Sunday to run it the way you want to. But anything outside of 2 hours, then I would suggest Clubhouse, where Clubhouse, that's open 24/7. And that has more reach, so we can probably use a combination of those two things.
I can call
right,
it the Clubhouse, and I certainly go ahead.
Reba, I was just saying, yeah, that's what we need, and I don't have contact information, but if we've got, is it the same number then that we would call then on Saturdays and Sundays?
All right, well, all right, hold on. What's a good time for you tomorrow? What's a good time for you tomorrow, Jeff?
Let me take a quick peek here. Well, I'll tell you what, this is important enough. You just tell me what's a good time for you guys. I'm in the Central Time Zone.
No, I'm flexible. I'm open. we're here at 10:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time. So if you're in, what time zone are you in, Jeff?
I'm in Central.
Same
time. It's 1 hour behind you.
All right, so that'll be so what, 9:30 your time tomorrow, or is that good?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, 9:30 tomorrow, your time will be right here at the same phone number.
Okay, I'm gonna write that down.
And I'll
okay, good.
Chris dropped off Yeah, so 9:30. So for people on the East Coast, that's 10:30 a.m. We'll be here for a special Saturday edition. I'm gonna just open up the room and then let you and Chris go at it, and then I'll fit in where I'm supposed to fit in. I'll stay in my lane. That's where I look at it. So that's tomorrow morning at 9:30 Central Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time tomorrow morning. You got a name for it, Jeff?
Let's do that collectively as a team. Let's do that collectively as
okay.
a team. I mean, you know, I like the idea of Hands Across America Again, or Hands Building America, or, you know, it doesn't matter. Team needs to come together, and like Reba said, where two or three are gathered, we can come up with an inspirational name. And then, you know, just start throwing our heads together. Does anybody know any celebrities? Do we know anybody that are, you know, in sports or television, on television, that can help us kind of get the word out? You know, those are the sorts of things. And then I'll document it. I'll be the documenter. I'll document everything okay. that we've got, contact information, what's the cost. What do we need? Heck, I'm so fired up about all of this that here, I can tell you in this county, you know, I would personally buy one of the homes myself. So it's so that's one county out of the way. And we just start ticking them off, right?
Now, nobody, what county is that, Jeff?
I'm in McLean County as well.
Okay, all right. Well,
and what we'll do is we
McLean
won't have anybody put a dime
Reba,
in this.
Yeah, Reba's in between two counties. Reba, you're in between Cook County, Illinois, and Milwaukee,
cool.
aren't you? All right. I'm in Polk County, but I'm connected to Hamilton County. I got listeners that are in Orange County. That's where Orlando is. Another one in Dade County. That's where Miami is. I got 10 acres in Presidio County. That's in Texas. Then we have listeners in Texas and North Carolina. Chris has got Chris got people all over the place.
I know he
so,
does. yeah, I'll be talking to him about it too. But we'll get them fired up. And, you know, the goal here would be for those initial builds. If you look at the whole, if you study and go in and look at Hands Across America and We Are the World, where there were many celebrities involved in that and, you know, organizations, businesses, for-profit, nonprofit organizations, the money, the charity money that they raised for that, which I thought was kind of low, that money was raised largely through, you know, paying to hold your place in line and to help end hunger and homelessness all over the world. So, well, I think primarily in Africa and the United States. But we can focus on those same things, but because of our ability to socialize with smartphones and the internet today, we should have numbers that are staggering. So after we get everybody to buy in, that's when we say, okay, now we need the money. Go ahead and donate the money now. Because
right.
people want to know it's going to be successful and that it's legitimate before they actually
right.
you know, start handing over the money. I'm hoping that many, many, maybe if not all of the builds would be funded by the actual donations, because the homes themselves would then be potentially donated to somebody who really needs it. And then the visibility,
right.
the spotlight on what we're doing then becomes immense. That's what we really want, is that spotlight.
Right. Well, actually, we got internet connections. We have the technology in our hand. I mean, phones, tablets, desktops, laptops. So, all right. Well, we can't get any better than that, Jeff. Thanks for putting that idea up there. Tomorrow morning, people. Now we're going to do a special edition here. So we'll be back tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 a.m. Central Time. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back here for planning of whatever we're going to. We'll collectively come up with a name tomorrow morning.
How many counties did you say there are across the United States? I'm sorry, I cut you off there. But how many counties did you say there were?
3,100.
3,100. Man, that's a good number, isn't it? 3,100.
Yeah. All right. Louisiana, their county equivalent, they're called parishes. And then Alaska, they call their counties boroughs. Other than that, every other state, they're called counties. So I know Florida has, where I'm at, has 67 counties. Illinois has 102 counties. Texas, the state alone, has over 200 counties in the state of Texas alone. So,
wow.
they're 3,000-plus counties in the United States.
Okay, well, we'll talk. I'll put some thoughts together. I would encourage anybody who wants to be on the call.
And there's a homeless problem, and
thing.
Practically there's a homeless problem, or there's an affordable housing issue.
Right.
Practically, I think in all 50 states, all 50 of them.
Yep.
So.
All
right. Hold on. Wait. I think Chris is back. Hold it. We got to have Chris back on. Chris, is that you?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Chris? I'm back.
Okay. All right. Chris, want to add anything to close us out for today? Oh, Chris, if you missed,
We're going to be back here tomorrow morning with Jeff. We're going to be doing, I guess, whatever you guys come up with planning. So that's we're going to be here at 9:30 your time, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, so we can, you know, get going on this, get more traction again. And Jeff, thank you for calling so much. I mean, excellent idea. It was like, man, perfect idea at the perfect time and it's right on time.
I'll call that inspired.
Right.
You know, you might have a few other people that's in the queue there that, you know, I'm working with five cities in Mississippi, and there's they were texting in the messenger, you know, how do we get involved? They were, dial one. I told them in the message, but
press,
if they put one they'll come up in the queue.
Yeah, press one if you're in the queue and you want to chime in on the conversation. Just press one if you're already in. Sometimes we can see, sometimes.
We've had some amazing things going on here.
And we do have, all right, we do have a caller here with their hands up, and, oh, let me press, all right. 361, your mic is open. 361, your mic is open.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for calling in.
Yes, definitely. Thanks for calling.
Anyway, all right. Thanks for calling in. Yeah. We'll be here tomorrow at 9:30. Central Standard Time, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And then I was mentioning them, I guess, during tomorrow's call, if we need additional time, because I can mark out 2 hours for tomorrow morning. I mentioned Clubhouse, which, Chris, as you know, Clubhouse is open 24/7. So, but we can discuss that tomorrow as well.
Yeah, let's just let tomorrow be a launch pad and bring in the different ideas because, you know, I consider a lot of what I do, I told Chris, and he, I don't know how he feels about me always saying it, but I'm a praying man. And a lot of the answers I get and the epiphanies I get come on my knees. So I get a sense that there's a lot of you out there like this. Yeah, there's a lot of you like that out there. And when we pull together, we're an unstoppable force. There's no mountain we can't move.
Well, what's interesting about you talk about when you mentioned what you mentioned this morning, I've been trying to figure out for weeks, if not months, how to get some traction going. So when you put the idea out there, say, well, man, that's the traction I've been praying about. You're not going to do it. Matter of fact, there's an audio I'll play on here. I'm not going to play it today, called Nine Friends. And it talks about this guy who bought a house, a fixer-upper house that had been vacant for years. So he called nine of his friends up. They came up with pickup trucks. So I figure nine pickup trucks, you have to have at least two people per truck to drive and one other person. So you got 18 people that came over, you know, with kegs of beer, food, and all this, and they fixed up a derelict house in a matter of hours to make it look brand new. But he couldn't have done it by himself. So I'm looking at when you brought up the idea that you're talking about, particularly on the level you're talking about, county by county, and I already know there are over 3,000 counties in the United States. You know, that's up. Sign me up. Chris, anything you want to say before we close out?
Oh, I just want to say I think this was a wonderful show. Say hi to Reba. I didn't say hello. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't forget. I heard what was said. I just wanted to at least say that. And wonderful. Let's do a show tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. See you guys tomorrow morning. It's planning. Jeff has got the floor for tomorrow morning. Thank you all for calling in. Jeff, I can't thank you enough. Thank you, Chris, for inviting me on. Everybody else on, thanks for listening. Everyone have a good rest of the day. Looking forward to tomorrow morning.
Tengo un buen día.
Me too. Buenos días.